Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. I have a little bit of echo in my ear, but we'll figure that out as we go. I'm very excited for our next segment. We have a lawyer joining us, our legal expert, Mark Salinas. Mark, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Grace. It sounds like you're having a great time over there at Apex.
We certainly are, and we so appreciate you calling in, Mark, because this is usually the time of the show on Thursdays where we ask you some of our legal questions, and what we've been doing lately is just having people send them in. And I enjoy this because there's some things you wouldn't think of until someone else asks it. So if you don't mind, Mark, can we just jump in?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so this is a family law question we received. My sister has a drug abuse problem. I would like to become a guardian of the child. What's the process?
Well, there's certainly a path for someone who has that concern. In order to get a guardianship over someone, a minor, they have to go to court to do it. The person has to be at least 18 years of age, not have a criminal record, and basically just petition the court. And if the parent of the child doesn't object to it, it can be accomplished pretty, without too much trouble. And then there's also a simpler process where someone can become a caregiver, and it's sort of just a voluntary thing in that a parent can voluntarily give this power over to somebody else while they kind of get their act together.
Okay, now on a similar one, this person writes, I want to move out of state with my child. I was never married to the father. Can I just leave?
Okay, so that depends on the situation. If there's never been an adjudication of paternity, then the answer would be yes. But you have to be very, very careful with that, because if two parents, if they share legal custody or they share physical custody, the parent that wants to leave must go to court to get permission, or alternatively get permission from the other parent. And then the court will look at what's in the best interest of the child and make a determination whether or not that parent should be allowed to leave. There's a lot of complex issues there. It's definitely something that I would recommend people getting, the assistance of an attorney.
Okay, now, Mark, I'm also getting a text in here. How long does a spouse have to wait for it to be considered abandonment?
And if you're talking about a child, well, I suppose.
Oh, I think this person's talking about divorce, so they want to file that their spouse.
Oh, yeah, it's a case by case basis. But what somebody would do is you have to go to court and you file a divorce complaint like you would any other time. And then what the court will do is they'll require you to give notice by publication. And if the other parent doesn't respond, then you can go forward with your divorce complaint, and the judge will enter a divorce decree in the absence of the other parent. I'm glad we weren't talking about a child. Jeez, you had me going on that one.
I know. No, that's good news. Criminal law. Someone asks, can I really be pulled over for talking on my phone? On my phone? The echoes throw me off.
Yeah. Yes. You can now. Texting and driving has been against the law for a while in Massachusetts, but in 2020, there was a new hands-free law that's really restrictive. You basically can't have a cell phone in your hand while you're driving, and you can end up getting pulled over. We've seen cases like that, and sometimes where the police get into trouble is if they detain people probably longer than they should over the cell phone issue. And then they find all sorts of contraband in the car, and then bad things are happening.
All right, but what if you use your navigation, like your GPS? How do they know if you're actually on the phone or if you're just using your maps?
Okay, good question. You can't have the phone in your hand. In terms of using navigation, what the law requires now is your phone has to be affixed to your vehicle. So you know those hands-free devices that you stick on your windshield with a suction cup? You can operate the navigation that way, but that's the only way you can get around that. You just can't hold it in your hands and try to drive around with it.
All right, Mark, because of this echo, I'm going to end it short here, but I'll be back on the other side. I appreciate you calling in, and we'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Barack Obama was giving an interview the other day, and from what I gather, he was trying to encourage people to support the $3.5 trillion spending boondoggle. But what ended up happening was something very different. Instead, people took a clip of him where he said, and this is going to come as a shock to a lot of people, that open borders are unsustainable. Now, that is very hurtful to his BFF, Joe Biden, because Joe Biden's entire presidency is based around those open borders. In fact, he encouraged people to surge the border before he became president, and then after he sent out Mayorkas and Kamala Harris to basically say, oh no, now's not a good time, wink, wink. So this administration is very pro-open border, despite what they might tell you and what they might say on Twitter or, you know, in hearings. Now, listen to this cut from Barack Obama. Cut two, please, Jared.
We're a nation state. We have borders. The idea that we can just have open borders is something that I think, as a practical matter, is unsustainable.
See, that's the thing, is that Barack's acting like he's running for president, but what he doesn't realize is that's a direct reflection of Joe Biden right now. Because if you're saying open borders are unsustainable, the first thing that comes to most people's minds is Del Rio. It's thousands of Haitians flooding the border. And so what ended up happening was ABC News decided to play Martin Scorsese, and they decided to cut up the interview. They actually omitted former President Obama's claim that open borders are unsustainable. Welcome to the new world, everyone. This is 2021, the Ministry of Truth. They do not like it. You know how you know we've gone too far? Barack Obama is no longer woke enough. Barack Obama needs to be censored and edited and kept in check by the mainstream media. That's how you know that they're losing their grasp on this narrative. And now, speaking of Barack Obama, that's not the only reason he was in the news. Nancy Pelosi had a little slip up yesterday. She's very frustrated right now, and for good reason. She's getting heat from both sides. The far left progressives, as she has told us many times, just one wing of the party, they want to tank the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. Because, and this is something I've been noticing, and as I looked at Chris Hayes' Twitter yesterday, it all became very clear. And he's tweeting in all caps that the sun is going to explode and, you know, we have, what is it now, 3-4 years left? I don't know. He's in all caps and he's yelling about global warming. And I realized that after the 2016 election, that kind of opened the floodgates to this behavior. And I like to call it like temper tantrum behavior, because it's the easiest way to put it, is that we're going to cry, we're going to scream, we're going to stomp, we're going to roll on the floor until you give us what we want and until things go our way. And so it's not just Chris Hayes, it's AOC. She was crying as she voted on the Iron Dome. She was crying and she voted present. She took a page out of Ed. She's been hanging out with Ed Markey a little bit too much. She decided to vote present on that. And so she's crying. And it's all this theatrics. And it's all this, like, I need to be the center of attention. I need to be the loudest. And that's why they don't like Joe Manchin, because he kind of ruins that for them. But this kind of behavior was really ushered in 2016, the hissy fits when things don't go your way. And Nancy Pelosi is not exempt from that. She's been around for a million years. She's an old school Democrat, but she has adopted that kind of behavior. We saw it at the State of the Union when she ripped up Trump's speech. We've seen it multiple times that she is just as immature and bratty as the rest of them. And it doesn't help that she's used to fawning coverage from the media. So now they're asking her tough questions. She's under pressure. She knows that if she can't get this $1.2 trillion bill passed, Joe Biden is a lame duck before we even head into 2022. So she's feeling the heat, to put it mildly. And so she made a mistake. Listen to what she said about Biden's Build Bagel Back Backstreet Boy agenda. This is cut 7.
Keep government open. We have to do those imminently, more imminently even, to address the full Obama agenda of building back better with, and I love to say building back better.
You love to say Obama too. It's got to be a double whammy for Joe Biden, because every time, and maybe he doesn't feel this way. You know, he's probably a lot more mellow than me. He doesn't tend to do a lot of work. He eats a lot of ice cream. I'm sure he's not as high strung as some of us. He doesn't seem as worried about the state of the country. Always a good thing from the leader of the free world to not be that stressed out about America. But whenever I think of Barack Obama now in relation to Joe Biden, I know most people think, oh, well, Biden was Obama's VP. That's not what comes to my mind. What comes to my mind is Joe Biden was running for president, and Barack Obama didn't endorse him until he was the only candidate left. That is incredibly telling that he waited until he had no other options. Then you add in the fact that he said, you don't have to do this, Joe. Then you add in the fact that he said, don't underestimate Joe's ability to bleep things up. And you realize that maybe this guy isn't team Uncle Joe Biden after all. So, Nancy Pelosi says the Obama agenda. I'm sure Barack's thinking, please do not loop me into this. Whatever you guys are coming up with, I don't want to be associated with it. But then it gets worse. Because I played that yesterday. That cut was from 2 days ago. It happened again, cut 8.
I don't think so. There's President Obama with a baseball cap on. Can't really read what the cap says.
He's talking about Joe Biden. Can we play that again, Jared?
I don't think so. There's President Obama with a baseball cap on. Can't really read what the cap says.
You know, a lot of these reporters and blue check marks must be thinking to themselves, it's like wishful thinking, you know? They wish it was Barack Obama with the baseball cap on, but it's not. It's Joe Biden. And I have to tell you guys this. It doesn't play as well over the air because it's really, you have to see the photos for yourself. But there's new pictures coming out of him at this congressional baseball game last night. And I already mentioned in my opening that he was, you know, mask-free, hugging Nancy Pelosi. That's nothing new. I mean, he was mask-free when he met with Jimmy Carter and basically sat on Jimmy Carter's lap. So he clearly, the mask thing, we can't keep heads or tails of. But I should mention this. There's photos of him. One photo is really weird. He's talking to some girl. I don't know if she's a reporter, some young woman. And she's against, like, the dugout fence. And he's got his hands around, he's got his hands on the fence. But she's like in the middle. I can't, you got to look at it. I don't know how else I would describe it. He's like cornering her almost. And he's very close to her face. And there's other pictures of him next to people and hugging people. It's just, it just doesn't, it's all very, very, very strange is all I'm going to say. And as far as the Barack Obama of it all, I think he's probably, I know he has to go out there and say this $3.5 trillion is really great. His heart's not in it. I mean, you think he wants to go out there and say, oh, we got to tax people more? Do you know who makes a lot of money? Who could probably get taxed more? Barack Obama. He knows that. So I just think that most of this is completely ridiculous. And I think Joe Biden knows it too. He was out there last night, but I don't think he's going to be able to pass any of this stuff, and his domestic agenda is dead in the water. If he can't get this passed, it's not going to be good. Now, Jen Psaki yesterday was talking to the press, and listen to what she had to say. Cut three.
How confident is the White House at this point of a vote on infrastructure tomorrow, or do you think that could slip into next week? Have you gotten any assurances? Or?
Well, this is why we all came to Washington. It's like an episode of a TV show. I'm not in a position to put lick in a crystal ball here. Maybe The West Wing, if something good happens. Maybe Veep, if not. I'm not sure. I will assess tomorrow where we stand.
It's definitely not The West Wing. I'm not going to lie to everyone and say I watched The West Wing. I did not. I think it was before my time. But from the descriptions I've read, it's like a witty, back-and-forth, fast-paced show about the White House. And they've tried to make it out like Joe Biden's like this behind the scenes. At one point, a puff piece described him as Socratic. Like, oh, he's asking all of these questions, and he carries around a briefcase. That's not happening. He walks out with a mask on. He walks back inside, wanders through the bushes. There's no witty back-and-forth. That's completely insane. Now, I do have a cut here, Jared. Do we have the cut from Senator Marsha Blackburn? Jared?
That is really disappointing to me. I know it's disappointing to people that have served with you or under you, under your command. And it does not serve our nation well. You talked a little bit earlier about the damage. And you said damage was the right word to use when assessing what has happened in Afghanistan when you look at America's credibility. So how do you look the men and women in the eye that have served under your command? How do you look young men in the eye that are coming to our military academy days and who want to serve? And say, you can depend on me. I've got your back. Because you know what? I think a lot of these families right now, they don't feel like you have your back. The special ops guys I met with Friday in my office in Nashville that are taking their time, their money, and risking their lives to do a job that the three of you could not do. Maybe we're going to remember you three as the three that broke the military. I don't know, but this is causing just a lot of anger.
Absolutely, and Senator Marsha Blackburn is really, we saw it yesterday when she was asking General Mark Milley to confirm that he spoke to all of those different authors. Don't ask me how he finds the time to do that. You know, he's one of the top military guys. He's talking to every author. The only one he didn't talk to was Andrew Cuomo that I know of. I don't know. And she's asking the right questions. And like Howie said this yesterday, it is theater. It is. And there's some times where the theater, like when I see Ted Cruz talking to Mark Zuckerberg and going viral for that kind of theater I've had my fair share of. But this deserves to be put on a public stage. This deserves to go viral. People should see this because we have to know what we're dealing with. And I agree with her 100%. I don't know how he looks people in the eye and pretends he's got their best interest at heart. When they bungled this, the very least, the decent thing to do would be to resign. 844-500-4242. We'll take some of your calls when we get back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We are live at the Apex Entertainment Center in Marlboro. It's right on Apex Drive. Make sure you come check it out. Howie Carr is enjoying a delicious cheeseburger right now with French fries. The food here is great. The drinks are great. And there's tons of fun for the whole family. So make sure you come on by. Here's a little bit of local news. We are in Massachusetts. Senate Judiciary Committee in contentious deadlock over Rachel Rollins' nomination for U.S. Attorney. Rachel Rollins, I would go as far as to say she's a friend of the Howie Carr Show. He's come coming up next at 3 o'clock, in case any of you guys have heard of him. He will be joining us soon. But she's a friend of the show. She's called in before, and it's a deadlock on her. And actually, we have a little bit of sound here. This is, Jared, can we play the sound of Senator Tom Cotton eviscerating Rachel Rollins' record at her U.S. attorney hearing, cut 9, please?
Even before she became a district attorney in Boston, she put out a list of 15 crimes that, by default, she will not allow her prosecutors to pursue without supervisor approval. That list includes things like trespassing, disorderly conduct, breaking and entering, malicious destruction of property, threats, resisting arrest, and even drug trafficking. She has issued that list as the Do Not Prosecute Directive once she took office. That's right. In the midst of a national drug crisis with more than 90,000 of our fellow Americans killed by a drug overdose in the last year alone, Joe Biden's nominee for U.S. attorney openly says that she does not believe that we should prosecute drug possession with intent to distribute of subjects like fentanyl and heroin.
Yeah, and we've actually talked to her about all of those things. Her thought process, I think that she tried to explain to Howie a couple times, to no avail, he wasn't convinced, was that if you put too many people in prison for these, I wouldn't say petty crimes, I mean, breaking and entering's kind of up there, but it overwhelms the court systems, and you should really save that stuff for the bigger crimes. But as Howie always says, and it brings us back to Menino here, is like, yeah, you know, getting your car stolen might seem like a nonviolent crime, but it feels pretty violent when it happens to you.
No, Grace, if your car is stolen, that's a minor crime. If my car is stolen, the death penalty is appropriate.
That's a major crime.
Yes. I think everybody agrees with that, right? It's like there's no such thing as minor surgery if you're being cut open. Minor surgery happens to somebody else, not to you. It's the same thing with having your car stolen or your house broken into.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this Rachel Rollins nomination is that it wouldn't be – there has been a lot of failed nominees, including David Chipman, who was supposed to be the head of the ATF.
But she's far from the most radical one. I mentioned there's an editorial today in the Wall Street Journal about the comptroller of the currency. She was born in Russia, and she wants to do away with private banks because it works so great in Russia, right? In the Soviet Union. And you have the eco-terrorist, Tracy something or other, Stone Manning or Manning Stone, up for the Bureau of Land Management. I mean, you know, here's the thing about Rachel Rollins. I was just writing a call about this. If you get rid of Rachel Rollins, I guarantee you're going to get a worse person coming behind her.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, do you think Dan Connolly was prosecuting a lot of these offenses when he just didn't put it on a website?
Yeah, he didn't
in black
about
and
it.
White. And you know, and shame on Greg Henning, the guy that was running against her, for not getting this out. You know, nobody knew about this until after she won the primary with, I don't know, 28% of the vote. Do you think she would have won the primary if people had known that she had this list on her website? But I mean, talk about a pathetic campaign.
But can I also say this? And I do stand by this. I'm not a fan of her policies. I always give her credit because she's not afraid to call into your show. And that does say something.
I agree.
Does say something. And I agree with you that there's worse. But I want her to be prepared, Howie.
And here's one other thing. You know, a lot of cops are saying, I hate that. You know, I don't like this woman. You know, that she's throwing out all these cases and all this. We got to get a good DA in there. Do you know who's going to be selecting the new DA if she wins confirmation? Charlie Parker. Now, are you counting on Charlie Parker to do the right thing about anything, Grace?
I'm chuckling.
Yeah, I'm chuckling too.
Maybe.
For instance, let's take a guy that you may know, like named Michael Flaherty. Is there a chance in hell that Michael Flaherty would get appointed district attorney?
He'd be really good too.
Considering he is a white, male, heterosexual, Irish, Catholic.
Well, Howie, what are you running a campaign against him right now?
What I'm just saying, it would practically be a hate crime to appoint him. The only person worse than him would be to appoint me.
Okay. Hold on a second. If Michael's listening, I do not endorse this message.
But it's a fact. I mean, and you know, and they, well, you know, Mike Flats was with Charlie Parker in the last two elections. That doesn't matter anyway. I mean, if they ever name a street after Charlie Parker, it'll have to be one way.
Well, the reason I wanted to bring this up, Howie.
I'm playing to the crowd here.
As you should.
These are my only. You'll be reading some of these in my column. It'll be posted probably in a couple of hours at the Herald.
Everyone is so happy that Howie just jumped on the mic. They're like, all right, his show's starting early.
But again, I'm saying this, you know, and again, that no prosecution list appalls me as much as the next person, but I understand how bad Joe Biden is and how bad his nominees are.
But Howie, do you want to hear something interesting about this whole process? Is that the reason I bring up David Chipman, who was going to be leading up the ATF, is because his nomination failed and he told the press that he felt like the White House left him on an island amid attacks from pro-gun groups and that they never reached out to him. So I just like that, knowing that, because it just shows
he
you the kind of...
He was in the ATF, and he didn't know the difference between an AR-15 and a hole in the ground.
No, Howie,
you know? I mean,
1,000%.
That's the guy, and he made disparaging remarks about black agents in the Detroit office. And this is the most woke administration in history. Bleep this guy.
But Howie, you're missing my point. If you put somebody up for the job, the decent thing to do, if you're going to pull the nomination, is at least give them a phone call. You just pretend you never knew the guy?
Again, as I said in my column, if you don't think things can get worse, remember, Joe Biden is the president of the United States. What are you expecting? A stand-up guy? A smart decision maker? Someone who acts in the best interest of the American people?
Well, speaking of guns, let's get to this story because this is also out of Massachusetts. Smith & Wesson flees Massachusetts and tougher gun laws after 169 years.
I think this is even a bigger story than Rachel Rollins today.
They will be relocating their headquarters to Tennessee after being based out of Massachusetts for 169 years. Why does all this stuff always break the day after I do my segment with Toby?
This is amazing, and you know they introduced legislation, the hacks on Beacon Hill, to ban the manufacture of AR-15s in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. That's where they make 60% of their profits, and you know now on Beacon Hill they're saying, hey, we didn't even bring this to a committee hearing, let alone a vote of the full. The bodies, the House and the Senate. Why are they doing this? What are they supposed to do? Just stand by flat-footed and let them put the company out of business? It's been in business since 1852, and it's moving its headquarters out. It's going to cost the city of Springfield, the county of Hamden, 550 jobs, and they let it happen just by posturing to the nuts out there. To the moon bats.
You know what's funny, too, though, is not funny, but you're absolutely right. And this is the kind of trickle effect that bad policies have. And we were just discussing this yesterday with this spending bill. People are saying, listen, if you put $3.5 trillion, if you start taxing people like crazy, even if it is the rich, wealthy 1% or whoever it might be, it trickles down and people are going to start paying their employees less. And Jen Psaki said, that's absurd. And she used another word like, rude or something, that they would ever raise the prices. It's like, this is how it works. There are consequences for your actions.
You know, when I was a kid living out there, the Gilbarco, they made the gas pumps for then Standard Oil. Now it's Exxon. They decided to move from Springfield, Mass. To Greensboro, North Carolina. But, you know, that was just for money. You know, I mean, the legislature in Boston hadn't said we're going to stop any kind of fossil fuel companies. You know, that was just an economic thing. I mean, in this case, they literally drove Smith & Wesson out of the state of Massachusetts.
Yeah, no, because when you think about it, and especially during this pandemic, Howie, I was thinking to myself, like, wow, who would ever open a restaurant if you're like a young entrepreneur? Who would want to open a restaurant in Boston, knowing how this city treats its restaurants? But then you think, guns? Like, you'd have to be crazy to ever try to do any sort of business here. And that's why the people who do stay around are very successful. But I don't blame Smith & Wesson. They want to make these places, they're not charities. They want to make money. They want to be successful.
Yeah, I was just writing down some notes for my own when I talk about this. But the president of Smith & Wesson said they had to decide to move to a state, again, with no income tax, obviously, quote, that does not propose burdensome restrictions on our company.
Yeah.
Burdensome restrictions, that's putting it mildly. They wanted to ban the manufacture of the firearms that produce 60% of the profits of the company. And the state rep out there, Bud Williams, it's greed. That's all it is.
Oh, gosh.
Talk about non-compos mentis. Joe Biden couldn't say anything that stupid.
Absolutely. And after 25 years in the dark, according to NPR, the CDC wants to study the true toll of guns in America. So now the CDC is going to start, you know, I'm sure we're going to have like 2 weeks to flatten the spike of gun violence or something. And we'll all be told that they're in charge now.
Why don't we study the cost of jobs in Hampton County by stupid legislation on Beacon Hill? I'll give you, we don't need a study. It's 550 disappearing in the next 2 years. 550 good paying union. I think probably a lot of them, it's only the headquarters. They're still going to keep 1,000 people there. But it's 550 jobs in the headquarters vanishing to Tennessee, outside Knoxville.
Yes, it's really sad. I mean, it's always sad to see that happen. But like you said, they were. What other option did they have? They're a business. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we will be joined again by Howard Lawrence Carr. So don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Let me pronounce to my friends that the border is both sovereign and secure. It is obviously subjected to biased and unfair narratives for political purposes.
That was Representative Sheila Jackson Lee telling us that the border is sovereign and secure. Isn't that nice to know?
That
you know what
false.
I think? I know, Jared, I don't know if it is false, because Kamala Harris got to the root causes. She saw the root causes, and she changed it. And now the border is all good. And as long as no Fox News drones go near Del Rio, then this narrative should hold up. As long as Peter Ducey and his friends don't ruin this for Joe Biden, we could chalk this up as a win. Whether
freedom!
Oh, and by the way, Fox News is reporting that Blinken, Mayorkas, Garland to travel. Ooh, that's a real who's who of hacks to travel to Mexico to discuss security issues. Ah, well, that ought to solve
it. Now is the time to build the wall while they're in Mexico.
Yes, I would agree. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111. That's 800-521-0111. Or go to jjmanning.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will the infrastructure bill pass by the end of the week?
Well, Representative Ilhan Omar made a promise. She said, we made a promise to the American people to deliver. But she was talking about the $3.5 trillion infrastructure package. I don't think we're going to see this bipartisan bill pass by Friday.
78% of the audience believes, no, we will not.
Oh, man. Well, in good news, Kamala Harris's poll numbers are rebounding as Biden's are floundering. They seem to be like a yin and a yang, you know, if one goes up, the other goes down. They can't both succeed. One of them has to fail. And right now, or I guess it should be really, one of them has to fail more spectacularly than the other. And right now, Joe Biden is hard to beat. I mean, he's taken a lot of the shine. He's in the spotlight. Everything he touches turns to... What's the term you like to use, Howie? Whale excrement?
Lower than whale.
lower than whale excrement. Speaking of Howie Carr, he joins me now for the Carr crossover. Howie, we are here at Apex in Marlboro. We're right on Apex Drive. It's a beautiful spot, really fun, open area for people to come watch the show. What do you have planned for today?
We got a lot of stuff. We'll be talking about Rachel Rollins' nomination getting stalled at the Senate Judiciary Committee, and I think I'll just leave though with this decision by Smith and Wesson to move headquarters out of the state of Massachusetts. I mean, this is a huge story, and you know they always say elections have consequences. So does posturing to moonbats and filing stupid legislation.
Yeah, and living in a deep, deep blue state.
Yeah, and they're out. They're gone. And how bad is it when the gun factory that Smith and Wesson has in Maine, you know, I mean, could there be a nuttier governor than Janet Mills in Maine? That factory remains open. But they're moving the headquarters of the, you know, there will be some production, you know, facilities remaining in Springfield. But, you know, they just have to get out. They can't take any chances. Can you blame them?
No.
I think that's going to be my poll question. Did they make the right decision? And then obviously they did, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a business, whatever decision, I hate to sound like a brute over here, but if you're a business, whatever you do that's going to make you more money is usually the right decision for your business.
Right.
It's not a charity. I mean, I feel for the 550 people who lost their jobs? Absolutely. But they're not running a charity. They're running a for-profit business.
And they've also got to think about the jobs of everybody. They got the factory in Maine. They got a factory in Connecticut, which they're also shutting down, and one in Missouri, which they're also moving to Tennessee. But they got to protect everybody in the company, right? You can't just go hat in hand to the state house and say, oh, please, please don't put our company out of business. You know, you can move across state lines. And there is a consequence to stupid behavior, and these, unfortunately, the 550 people that didn't do it are going to pay the price. Not this stupid state rep from Springfield who says they're a bunch of greedy people.
Absolutely, guys. Howie Carr is coming up next. We're at Apex in Marlboro. Thank you all so much for coming out for my show. Stick around for Howie's. He's got a few more hours to just bring the heat. Don't go anywhere.